The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We have a black picket fence with a black gate in our yard. The black gate opens up to make an entrance for us. A gate, an opening in a wall or a fence, a city or a castle entrance, often with defensive structures as towers. In the Old Testament, the sheep gate was a gate where sheep and lambs and goats were brought through this entrance to be sacrificed in the temple. You'll turn to Nehemiah 1. See, the temple courts were near the sheep gate. In the Old Testament times, people brought lambs and sheep through the sheep gate entrance for sacrifice and for sin offerings and for peace offerings at the altar, the temple, and then at the tabernacle, and then at the temple in Jerusalem. Sacrifice, an act of offering to God something precious, like in John 3:16, his son. Something offered, sacrifice to suffer loss. Sacrifice for an idea. You know, when we sacrifice something, say we had 1,000 sheep today, and we go ahead and give the one that's blind, that is not an acceptable sacrifice to God because it's not precious. A lamb is a young sheep, one that is less than 1 year old, offered without blemish. In Colossians 1:14, I'll just reference that, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In the Old Testament, sheep and lambs were used as a symbol. In Nehemiah 1, verse 1, it says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers came from Judah and some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. In verse 3, it said, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. You see, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. See, the people in Nehemiah's time were in disgrace. See, some did not survive the captivity. We see here the wall of Jerusalem is broken down. It was made rubble, and its gates had been burned. The gates of Jerusalem today line the walls of what is known today as the Old City of Jerusalem. The life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed mankind forever. At least it gave man a chance to change and come to repentance and have their sins forgiven. The walls, the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, the gates, they stand today as a testament to the antiquity and the importance of the information that we find in the Bible, because it's verified in the Bible. The gates guard the entrance into the Holy Land, even today. The sheep gate in the Old Testament in Nehemiah's time, during the rebuilding of the walls and the gate and the temple, after coming back from captivity, the sheep gate was special. If you'll turn to Nehemiah 3:1, see, we notice here in Nehemiah 3:1, the sheep gate was the only gate that was sanctified, dedicated by the high priest. There are a lot of symbolisms that we find in the Bible, and we'll find a few more as we go along in the sermon. See, from the Old Testament flowing into the New Testament and the New Covenant, Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. In the Old Testament, a shadow of the sheep gate points to the New Testament substance of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. See, in Nehemiah 3:1, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work. What happened? They got busy doing what? They rebuilt the sheep gate. The priest's job was to build the sheep gate they had dedicated and sanctified, but but not the other gates. In verse 1, it said, the priests started with the sheep gate. So this is where they started. In verse 32 in Nehemiah 3, it says, the sheep gate was also the last place to finish applying the final touches. So Nehemiah started and ended with the sheep gate, going all the way around, building the walls and the other gates. But starting and ending with the sheep gate, as we notice in verse 32, the first and the last. In Isaiah 48:12, it says, listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I have called, I am he, I am the first and the last. Jehovah of the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Revelation 22, verse 13, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Symbolisms from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sin is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Sin, to commit a sin, an offense, or a fault. Sin, a transgression of the law of God, taken from the Webster's 9th New Collegiate Dictionary. In the Old Testament, the sheep gate was where the people brought their sheep, their lambs. So that they could sacrifice for their sins. These animals in place of their sins so that they could be covered. So that they could be washed clean. So they could become clean before God once again and again and over again with the lambs through the sheep gate. See, they had to be brought before the high priest and slaughtered for the remission of their sins and sacrificed with blood so that their sins could be covered. In the New Testament, God says the Son of the Lamb of God was sanctified and sacrificed only once. Sacrificed only once for all the sins ever committed by mankind. In Matthew 26, verses 28, it says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, talking about Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You'll turn to Hebrews 9, verse 12. Hebrews 9, verse 12, and it says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. See, in the Old Testament, the holy place could be only entered only once a year by the high priest on the Day of Atonement only. The sheep gate is a symbol of salvation. No person can have salvation without first repenting, changing their ways and coming to know God's way, turning back with God out of and away from man and the world's way, following God's commands, being baptized, repenting, receiving God's Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins. Turn to John 1, verse 29. John 1, verses 29 says, the next day, John, speaking about John the Baptist here, sees Jesus coming unto him and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is why the holy days, each holy day is a piece of God's dynamic plan of salvation giving to us. It is given to us through the Lamb of God's shed blood and with God's grace. See, our Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb from God. He is our high priest who carried his own blood to the Holy of Holies, to the very throne of God, picturing the Day of Atonement. If you turn to Hebrews 9, verse 11. See, Atonement's coming up here in a few weeks. So you'll be hearing more about this. Hebrews 9, verse 11. It says, but when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it's not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves that we were speaking about in the Old Testament, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Most holy place before God the Father's throne, carried by God's Son, Jesus Christ's own blood, sinless, perfect life, blood shed for all. We have eternal redemption because of this. Turn to John 1. 1 John 4:14. The disciples were talking about, we have seen and do testify. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Talking about Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is the way through the sheep gate. His sacrifice, his life, his blood is the way through the sheep gate. Not just his sacrifice, because some religions just hold on that. We're talking about his whole life, his blood, his sacrifice for the Father and for all of the world. Jesus Christ willingly offered himself as a perfect sacrifice with his life and his blood, sinless, once for all sins. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is our sheep gate, is our slain lamb forever. Sometime God calls us, he opens up a sheep gate, just a little, to us in life, seeing if we're ready. Are we ready to serve with Jesus Christ? Become converted and changed so that we can follow the slain Lamb of God for the rest of our lives. See, we are no longer called to offer up animals as sacrifices in the New Testament for worship. But we are called to offer our lives instead. In Romans 12:1, if we'll turn to Romans 12:1, talking about a living sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, reading out of the New International Version, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. If you'll turn back to Nehemiah 3, verse 1, talking about that high priest. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. And they consecrated it and set its doors. See, in Nehemiah, we find the story of the Israelites rebuilding Jerusalem after returning from the exile in Babylon, which was due to their sin. See, they turned away from listening to God. They turned away from obeying God. Sins against the true God. And he allowed Babylon to capture them. See, the wall around Jerusalem was the first project for the people after coming back from exile. The wall was the first line of defense against the many enemies that the Israelites had upon them and around them. The first part of the wall, as I said, was the sheep gate. This might not sound like a priority, but to the people of Israel, it was the utmost importance in their worship to God to rebuild their defense. The sheep gate was the gate the sheep were led through as they came to the temple to be slaughtered for the sins of the people. Their first mission was to bring proper worship back to God because they had sinned and they were not following God and his commands. This was their first mission, to build the wall, to build the sheep gate, and to worship God and to bring proper worship back to Jerusalem as it once was. I have the sheep gate is seen in the model of the second temple here. It's got the wall around it, and it's got a little opening where the sheep would be brought through to be sacrificed. Maybe a couple sheep at a time or three in an orderly fashion. Because during the holy days, when everybody is offering all the sheep and the lambs, it can get pretty chaotic. See, the Israelites knew when they came back from captivity and exile that there were walls in their own lives that were destroyed by sin, that needed to be repaired, needed to be repaired with God. And how do you do that? Well, you start with the proper worship to our great God, turning and changing and listening and obeying God's laws and Him and all things that He commands us, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament. Given sheep and lamb sacrifice without blemishes, see, they had to do that. They had to bring the best sheep or lambs that were available to them, treating God with respect, because they sort of lost that, and that's why they went into captivity, to obey God and to look at His awesomeness. The temple and the sheep gate were a special sanctified entrance, the sheep gate of forgiveness to new life with God. In the New Testament, we can offer our own lives as a proper sacrifice to God by being holy, by being loving and kind and merciful, by obeying God's commands and being a light to the world, keeping God's Sabbath every seventh day of the week when God commands us to. Turning our lives over to our great God and making some changes where we see we have to be made since Passover. Making some sacrifices. As a Christian, life is about making the right sacrifices to God. Going in God's directions and His commanded path and ways, and learning about Him and changing where we need to change, being baptized, being forgiven, living a different life unto God. This is why we read the Old Testament first, because the Old Testament flows richly into the New Testament, giving us powerful examples of prophecies first to be unfolded in the New Testament and in the future, but also giving us powerful examples of what the Israelites did wrong in their worship to God, so that we can worship God properly, giving God the glory in our lives, making the sacrifices that need to be made. The New Covenant, through our Savior and King in the New Covenant life, gives us hope and grace and redemption, making possible the New Jerusalem, the New Kingdom, God's Kingdom, to come down to this very earth from heaven, pictured in Revelations, forever, made possible through our Savior, His sheep gate, His sacrifice, blood and life and resurrection to eternal life, forever, with Him, our Shepherd, the Lamb of God. If you'll turn to John 10, verse 22. John 10, verse 22. Then came the festival of dedication, talking about Hanukkah at Jerusalem. It was winter, verse 23, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around Him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." See, they didn't believe that He was the Son of God and the Messiah. And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but do not believe because you are not my sheep. See, they haven't gone through the sheep gate in life with Jesus Christ. See, it says in verse 27, my sheep listen. They listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. See, the Israelites went into captivity and exile because they did not listen to God, and they did not obey God's commandments. To have eternal life, we must listen to God and follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's examples of his life, of obedience to God by obeying God in life. It sounds simple, but some religions make it so difficult and confusing where all we have to do is listen and follow Jesus Christ and we will be on the right path in life. When our Savior, our King, was speaking in Mark 11, let's turn to Mark 11. When our Savior, our King, was speaking in Mark 11, I can see Jehovah speaking near the sheep gate. Just put this in your memory. You know, they're going through and they're slaughtering the lambs for their sins. And they're near the sheep gate in Jerusalem by the wall where they led the sheep and lambs for the sacrifices through the sheep gate into the temple area. In Mark 11, verse 11, it says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts, and he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, see, he left. He went over to Bethany with the 12 disciples, and they got a good night's sleep. Verse 12, it says, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, and then in verse 15 it says, on reaching Jerusalem the next day, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. You'll turn to Nehemiah 13, verse 4. Nehemiah 13, verse 4, it says, before this, we're talking about the high priest here, Eliashib, the priest had put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room. Formerly, this was used to store the grain offerings and incense in the temple articles and also the tithes of the grain, new wine and the oil prescribed for the Levites, the musicians and the gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priest. So the high priest just gives this room to Tobiah in the temple courts. Here you go, big old room. See, Nehemiah didn't know about this, did he? Verse 6, but while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem. And in verse 7 it says, and he came back to Jerusalem here, and I learned about this evil thing that Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. This wrong thing. And I was greatly displeased, and he threw all of Tobias' household goods out the room. This was God's house. Just like Jesus Christ, they were doing some stuff in the temple court selling. He threw that stuff, get out of here, he said. Nehemiah was mad. They were desecrating God's temples, and he was not going to put up with it. It says in verse 8, Nehemiah was greatly displeased and threw all of Tobiah's household goods out of the room. And I gave orders to purify the rooms. Then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God and the grain offerings and the incense, the way it was supposed to be. Verse 30, it says, so I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign, and assign them duties, each to his own task, cleansing the temple. This is before Jesus Christ's time. Cleansing the temple. A little while later, turn to John 10. visualize in your mind where the sheep would go through the sheep gate, but they would never come back out alive. So they're going in the sheep gate. Because of the smoke of their burning flesh, through the sacrificing fires, would ascend to the God in heaven. The people listening here to our great God would have had in their nostrils the deep smell of the burning lamb's flesh close by. So this allows Jesus Christ to make a gripping point. I am the gate, he says. He's the sheep gate. John 10, verse 7. Most assuredly I say to you, I am the gate of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. He says it again. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ telling the disciples and us what he will do for us. His plan to die for us. His sheep. He is the shepherd. He is the gate of the sheep gate. Remember before Jesus was crucified that night before, and he went into to pray an hour here and an hour there, and the disciples were sleeping. He said, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup. But it wasn't possible because Jesus Christ is the sheep gate. He had to lay down his life for his sheep. You turn to Psalms 118, verse 19. Verse 19, it says, open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The sheep gate, sacrifice, in the Old Testament are a shadow of Jesus Christ shed blood coming in the new covenant and the new testament years later. Turn to Ephesians 5, verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and he gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, Jesus Christ gave himself up for us. He gave himself up for a sacrifice. For the Father's great plan of salvation. He asked him, if it be thy will, and I don't have to do this, remove this cup. God said no, and he had to be sacrificed. In Acts 8, verse 32, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, pictured by the sheep gate. Our Savior, our King, was led as a lamb before it to be slaughtered. You'll turn to Hebrews 9, verse 12. It says, Hebrews 9, verse 12, it says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 18, therefore not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. Verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Verse 22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. See, the blood of goats and calves, this was not good enough, was it? It was not good enough. We needed Jesus Christ's sinless life, his blood, his perfect sacrifice to give us a chance, to give us a chance at eternal life with the Lamb of God, a chance at eternal life. You'll turn to Hebrews 10, verse 20. Hebrews 10, verse 20. And by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Matthew 27, 51. It says, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. You ever seen a rock? It's hard to split a rock, isn't it? It said the earth quaked and the rocks were split. The veil in the Holy of Holies being ripped, torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. What an awesome event to try to cover up. The Lamb of God is our sheep gate. The entrance, the atonement for making possible everlasting life for all who will receive it and take action to do something in their life to be a living sacrifice unto God. His way, not man's way. You know this scripture by heart, John 3:16. You know, they're talking about this together, I'm sure. You know, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't want to, but it was the only way for his plan to come together. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only way for us to have everlasting life is to for Jesus Christ to be sacrificed for our sins. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Father loved the world so much that he gave up his only begotten Son for the sins of the world so that he could be sacrificed for us once. To be the atonement as the Lamb of God for us, his Son, to be slaughtered. To be a slaughtered sheep, sacrificed. So the fulfillment in his plan for atonement and unity and harmony would be complete in God's perfect plan in the up and coming New Jerusalem. It was the only way this would be possible. See, during the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, this was a high holy day of fasting to God, trying to be at one with God. They had two goats, and one laying on all the sins of the people on one goat's head, and they would lead this goat into the wilderness. And the second goat being sacrificed, symbolizing an atonement for sin. A shadow of his impending sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ, for the new covenant. God's holy days have a rich meaning forever for all of us. Today, to obey, to believe, and to become a living sacrifice now for God's holy, righteous purpose. It's not just talk. Jesus Christ didn't die just to die. And we can't earn it. It's by grace. In Exodus 26, taken from Matthew Henry's concise commentary, talking about the veil of the Holy of Holies and for the entrance in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. A veil or curtain separated the holy place from the most holy place. It was hung upon pillars This veil was for a partition between the holy place and the most holy place. So there is a distinction there. The way into the Holy of Holies was not made manifest. While the first tabernacle was standing, life and immortality laid hidden till they were brought to the light by the gospel. The gospel, which was signified by the rending of this veil at the death of Jesus Christ in Matthew 27:51. That gives us, we now have boldness to enter into the holiest. In all acts of worship by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can do these things. And Revelations 1, verse 6. Last part of verse 5, it says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, verse 6, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. See, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, of his completeness, dying for all of our sins so that he can lead us forever as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will be complete in him, serving the slain Lamb of God forever in his kingdom on this earth because of what Jesus Christ did as the sheep gate, leading through his sacrifice into eternal life. The Spirit of God describes the days of recovery in the book of Nehemiah for our exhortation, for our encouragement. A lot of the Old Testament is like that. Also for our exhortation and encouragement, turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1. I wonder if John really was excited about this. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Drop down to verse 22, and I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Drop down to verse 25. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter into it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those names who are written in the book of life. You see, back in Jerusalem's day, they had a big wall around so they could let certain people in and keep certain people out. That's what's going to happen here in the New Jerusalem. The gates will be open to God's people who are righteous and living his way of life, and they will be closed to the people who are deceitful and shameful once and for all. When we die, God will not ask us how we died, but how we lived. He's not going to ask us how we died, but how we lived now. Will we listen to the Lamb of God in life now? As our sheep of God, do we resemble Jesus Christ, God's Son in life? How do we live? The four fall holy days will be upon us soon. Are we ready? Are we getting ready for Jesus Christ's return in our lives? See, the holy days help us to connect us and make us alive with God now and forever, with his holy purpose, knowing what's coming, so that we can be ready. Atonement, the holy day at one with God, is a few weeks away. The Old Testament gives us a chance, as we read, to see how far and meaningful animal sacrifices could mean to the people in the Old Testament. They meant some things, but there was something missing. In the New Testament, the new, better covenant, that something missing was our ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ's life and blood. His sacrifice given us life. He gave up his life to to give everyone a chance at eternal life. By repenting of our sins now, by seeking first the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:33, seeking God's forgiveness of our sins, by living holy lives now unto God, looking forward to that 1,000-year reconciliation period with our great God, God's Son, made possible with the revealing of His life examples found in the Gospels, made possible by His life work. You know, when you look at somebody's life and their life's work, some people you're just amazed at what they can accomplish. See, this is made possible with the revealing of Jesus Christ's life's examples and His life's work through the atonement for us by His death and by His powerful blood and resurrection to His Father in heaven. We have received His atonement, His unity, His harmony, His love that can be enjoyed forever by those who choose to be living sacrifices now, made possible by the Lamb of God through the sheep gate. Jesus Christ's tremendous sacrifice, selfless sacrifice for all of us, makes this possible. The sheep gate in the Old Testament was a shadowing of what was to come in atoning for our sins through the sheep and lambs and goats being sacrificed. This was a glimpse of greater things to come flowing into the new covenant. With the revealing life of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shedding His life, ripping the veil, torn from top to bottom into the Holy of Holies, behind the veil, sacrificing His blood once for us all. Jesus Christ is our sheep gate forever, as the slain Lamb of God forever. Jesus Christ is our gate, is our entrance. He is our entrance into eternal life, into the new Jerusalem coming soon on this earth. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.